Oh, I'm fired up. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Christ alone, cornerstone.
Yes.
Weak made strong. Weak made strong through the Savior's blood. Hallelujah. Love that song. And I love Be Unto Your Name. Love those songs in Jesus' name. They praise and honor and glorify God. We're continuing our series, if you will, on all things work together. All things work together. All things work together for good. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Glory be to God in the highest. Thank God for the air condition. Amen. They were able to come out. Called them on Monday. They were able to come out the same day. So very thankful. Everything. You know, COVID thrown a lot of things in motion and back schedules and back this and back date and all that. So, you know, they may be able to come out, and we, for that, we are forever grateful. Amen.
Amen.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Woo-wee. Ah, he's too good. He's just too good. I know you're freezing, but you'll be all right. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 31. Again, we're continuing our series on all things are work together for good. verse 28. And we know, for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are the called according to his purpose. I'm going to read that again. And we know that for those who love God, God works all things together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. Because those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. Who were to follow is what it's talking about. He was the first in order of preeminence importance. And he would be the first of many. Lord, thank God. That would many brothers, that's where we all come in. If you're born again, we are part of the many brothers.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
And those whom he predestined, he also called. Hallelujah. And those whom he called, hallelujah, he also justified. You can just hallelujah after each one of these.
Yes.
Amen. And those whom he justified, hallelujah, he also glorified. Hallelujah. Let the church say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Now don't just say it because I told you. Don't just say it because I told you.
Amen.
Say it because there's a bit of a revelation. Just a little sunlight peeking into our hearts, understanding what the miracle that he's done for us.
Yes.
And then 31 just brings it all home. What shall we say to these things? Since God for us, who against us? God for us. He's going to glorify you and me. If you're born again, you will be glorified because God is going to make sure that it happens. He's for us. Now, when it says who against us, it doesn't mean who can stand against us, because the world is against us. Let it sit. What I just said now. He's not saying nobody's going to be against you or who can dare be against you. The world is against you. What's implied in that is who can successfully come against the church. And the answer is no one, because God for us. Who against us successfully? No one. There's no one, nothing that can stop the glorification process. Period. Now we've talked, we've been on this, April, how long? About a month, month and a half, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. We talked about the God who's made this incredible promise. All things work together for good. That's you got to be a bad something to make a promise like that. You got to be the Godfather of God. He is. Okay? You got to have all power. He does. You got to have all wisdom. He does. He's all wise, all knowing, all powerful, eternal, everlasting. And he's, you got to be in charge. Everybody, he's sovereign. Oh, no wonder he can make that promise. Am I preaching to the right?
Yes, sir.
So do you understand why we first went over who this God is that made this incredible, grandiose promise? He's your father. He's my father. If you're born again, he's your father. He's my father. He's our father. That's who this God is. It says things like he cannot fail. He cannot lie. He's on our side. He is our shepherd. That's the God who is sovereign over all and has stated that for those who love me,
yes,
I'm going to make everything work together for good. The God of the Bible, who's our Father, who's sovereign, that's who made the promise. Second, this week we talked about that, who made the promise and all of that, probably for the last 6 weeks, I guess. Now we're going to start on, we've been promising for the last month probably, who the recipients of this promise, of this grace is. Who are the recipients? We found out that the recipients, lack of a better term, have two labels, maybe, and that may not be the greatest way to say that, but you can see, before you get even to the promise, remember in the Greek order, in the emphatic position, it's, and we know that for those who love God, for them, all things work together for good. Then it lets us know, who are those who love God? Who are the called according to his purpose? Now, Lord God in heaven above, I pray right now that we receive this like never before, that we see ourselves more towards how you see us, and not how we see ourselves or how the world sees ourselves or any other human being, but how you see us. And let it bring great joy, joy unspeakable, full of glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I prayed that prayer because this next section of who are the recipients, talking about us, this ought to be bring some of the greatest joy. It will make you bleary-eyed with joy. It really should bring that kind of joy. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable who we really are, what God has really done for us. It is. It's going to blow your socks off. You're going to understand eternal security better. You're going to understand he who began a good work is faithful to complete it better. You'll understand why the Apostle Paul said, I'm pressing on toward the mark of really a conformity to the correct Lord Jesus, my Lord and Savior. You'll understand that. I press on. You'll understand a lot of things better. This is talking about us. You have to understand that God, our Father, is an exclusive God. He's not everyone's Father. And we need to accept that and just deal with it. And thank God he's ours if you're born again. Amen. And you have to understand that he has no shame in being exclusive. But what the world tries to press upon the children of God is shame in being exclusive. Well, why? I don't get that. I mean, why don't he? I I mean, how can he be the way? I mean, you know, there's nine ways of Detroit. How come we just can't be like going to Detroit? Because that's the word, that's where I heard it. Go to Detroit 275, 696, 96, 94, 75. Depending on where you're coming from out of town, you can take, you know, whatever, Toledo, whatever one coming out of town. It's this, no, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through, by, and because of me. That's what Jesus said. If you got a problem with exclusivity, you got to holler at the Son. Got to get at the Son about that. Because they have this thing wrapped up. And it was wrapped up, sewed up tight before the foundation of the world. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This teaching on the recipients is going to have a twofold effect, possibly. It's going to have one of kind of shock and awe, just as to how exclusive he is. But once you get past that, then you'll rejoice, or you'll be even more humbled and almost with a grab your heart falling down like, wow, he chose me. Wow. I mean, wow. I mean, that's what I've been saved for at least 33 years, Brooks, all of Brooks' life. But this has hit me. I'm going to tell you something, April Lou Caldwell. You just keep on staying focused. Let the Lord lead you. You hear me, young lady? Period. Because your mind needs to stay focused. I mean, we all do. But I'll let you speak to her right now. Because Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones is the teaching on what I'm about to talk about. I've never heard anyone teach on it from this angle. And it is so exciting, but it is very exclusive. And this may hurt, it's going to cause some questions. Fine, I want to stand here flat-footed and answer all of them as best I can. Amen. Because I want you to understand what the Lord has done already in the past. And who we really are because of what he has done. Get your questions answered, get the doubt removed, and then just be ecstatic, bleary-eyed, joyous about that he chose us. And he chose us. We are the recipients of this great grace. This promise is not for everyone. And part of it is going to be a little bit offensive. I understand that it's not for everyone. But this promise wasn't meant for everyone. It was never for everyone. And that's the part where it's going to get a little strong. It was never for everyone. I'm going to remove. And not the things you've heard already. You've heard a lot of these things already. But we're kind of going to come at it from a little bit of a different angle. We heard of Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. It was not for Esau. He chose Jacob. He can choose whoever he wants. And I know almost everyone who teaches on that scripture with any depth will say, hey, this is a rough scripture. It's a tough scripture to go over, Romans 9, about verse 6 all the way down. It's a rough scripture. But you can't avoid it. You can't avoid it because it's a rough scripture. No, the Holy Spirit moved on the writer, even here in Romans 8, all the way down to write this out. So we then are obligated as teaching pastors to do what? Exposit this word. I love Jacob, not Esau. I told Isaac and not, what was the one? Ishmael, yeah. It was Isaac, not Ishmael. It was Jacob, not Esau. It was you, and maybe not your sister. It's you, maybe not your brother. It's you, maybe not your father. I know that's tough, but
sovereignty of God, and everything he does is holy and is pure and is right and is righteous. He's big on exclusivism. This promise of all things working together for good is just for his people. You know that, but I'm hoping with all this drama before, you're like, man, let me really hear this. Because I've said it many, many times, even through this teaching. But the Lord says, really hear me. I'm making you and you alone, my child, a specific, exclusive promise that is only good to, through, and for you and no one else. Let's start to look at this exclusive group or the recipients, if I have in my notes, the recipients of this grace or this mercy. You could put either one, right? Learn that. And we know that for those who love God. Now, we went over this a couple weeks ago, and I want to say it again. Remember, this is a status, more or less, right? Who we are before God. We are those who love God. Well, who are those who love God? They are the called, according to the purpose. We went over that before, but just want to remind you. Remember, I teach it this way. We are righteous. And because we are righteous, we are then to go out and live righteously. Right? So we are righteous. So that's what's describing us, being righteous. Then you are to live righteous. Well, we are those who love God. And so now let's go out and love God. Does that make sense? So who we are ontologically, meaning as far as being, like we're human naturally in being, where ontologically, spiritually speaking, we are those who love God. Well, then, since that's who we are being, then let's go out and live it. Now, having said that, let's go ahead and rerun some of the verses here. This is where we stop when the rains came and the floods blew and the winds beat up on the house last week. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at Nehemiah, hallelujah, chapter 1, verse 5. Who are those who love God? Well, we know that's who we are being-wise, status-wise, but then who are we? How does that look? How does that play out in our everyday lives? Nehemiah chapter 1. Anybody, I told you already, why I don't have the verses up here. Anybody know why I don't have the verses on the big screen? No, huh? Oh, what'd you say, April? I'm sorry. What are you doing? Yeah, yeah. What are you doing? You're trying to find it. I love page turning. Go find it yourself. You know what I'm saying? I think this promotes laziness and it promotes people not wanting to bring the Bible to church, which is already too much of that going on. I'm way too old school for that. People coming in with nothing. No. Get a Bible. Get a phone at least. Something. But turn to it. You know. Thumb it through a bumble. Find it. Yeah, I mean, I don't find it. Then put your eyes on it. I love the old school people. We used to mark up the Bible, you know. I mean, just with all kind of color, you know, and highlighters and all of that. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5. We're talking about those who love God, how it looks, how it plays out in our everyday lives. Amen? Amen. And I said, O Lord of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with everybody and anybody who come along and live the thing out. Isn't that something? Look at this. We were just talking about the exclusivity. It's all over the Bible. He chose Cain, Abel, and not
Cain, yes. Like you were scared from it. It was okay. He chose Abel and not
Cain.
Jacob and not Esau. Isaac and not Ishmael. Yeah. This is exclusive. The great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast chesed, steadfast love, with those who love and keep his commandments. Exclusive. It's not for everybody. That's why, even as a child of God, you need to be careful with speaking exclusive promises for the people of God toward everyone, just trying to make them feel good.
Right.
No, that's not true.
Right.
I was driving through, and a young lady gave me an honest answer. How you doing? Yeah, okay. I said, oh, thank you for an honest answer. I appreciate that. Not having a great day, honest. And I wanted to say, you know, when your day get better, you went, and I said, well, things get better for you. And when I pulled off, I started praying for her. Because you want to say, you know, the Lord bless to keep you and make his face shine on you and make you walk in that power. I hope your day gets better. But that's all I can offer. I don't, you know, we got to keep the line moving, you know. You can't, are you saved? Are you a Christian? You know, then I mean, we can talk some other things. But the world does not have this. But we do. Look at what he's saying. Who do you belong to? The Lord God of heaven. Lord God, help us to see who you really are in relationship to us. The great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. That's us. He's steadfast. He's got a covenant that he'll never break. I told you, he's not man. We were talking about the ladies. You know, you've had a lot of heartbreak. I mean, let's be real, ladies. You've had a lot of heartbreak. And for men, keep in the rear. This man, Jesus, will not disappoint ever. He keeps his covenant. He cannot lie. He's a great lover. He's a great man of compassion. He knows how to rub your back in Jesus' name. And he knows how to squeeze your toes, spiritually speaking. He knows how to do that. He'll never fail. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And those who have trouble with fathers, same thing. He's a father who keeps his covenant and steadfast love. Love that doesn't break down. He's merciful. He's kind. He's gracious. But who is this promise to? Those who love him. Period. No. And keep his commandments. Keep. What present? What tense is keep? Present tense. Yes. Yes. Meaning what?
It's just be constant.
It's constant. It's all the time. Constant. Consistent and continual. Not just keep, not who kept past tense's covenant, but who keep and keep and keep and keep his commandments. John 15. Wow. The Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, I'm sorry, verse 15. The Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. Verse 15. Lord God, help us to get this, please. Clear our minds. If something's going on in our mind, help us to clear it and hear this word. Please. Wash the day off. Listen to the word. Let the word sink deep into your heart and mind. Let it sink deep into your ears in Jesus' name. The Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. Verse 15, if you love me, you will. That's a gangster statement. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. What is that saying? That if you truly love him, you're keeping his commandments, period. That's what he's saying. Now you might keep them or you'll think about it. No, you're keeping them. Yeah, you will do this. So we got to ask ourselves, how much do we love them? Now we know ontologically, we know status-wise, before God, we are lovers of God because we've been we are the called. But now, how does that play out on the daily? It can look a lot different. Amen. Your righteous can't be undone. Perseverance of the saints. He whose faith will complete the work. But you can't walk around, well, I'm saved enough. That's always the caveat. You got to teach that too. But I'm always thinking, if you're thinking, wow, I can't lose my salvation, then I can just kind of go in and say, well, if you're thinking like that, I wonder if you're saved. I've said that many a time. Because what comes with the salvation package, for instance, is a desire to want to please him. You want to do his will. And you feel horrible when you don't do his will. We went over that. And now sin affects us in a mighty way. You're all tore up. You cannot even function, especially if you don't confess that sin. Amen. That's the true proof or evidence that you are saved. One of the great evidence that you're saved is the hatred of sin and a love of God and his word and wanting to please him. Amen. Not, you don't see a license to sin more if you're born again. What you see is, wow, he's so merciful. He's so gracious. He is so kind. Just too much. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Go down to verse 21. Please, same chapter. He who has my commandments and keeps them constantly, consistently, and continually is the one who loves. Oh, by the way, love is in what tense? Yes. Very good, because they have to match. If you keep constantly, consistently, continually my commandments, then you are loving me constantly, consistently. Does that, you see how those got to fit? He said, is the one who loves me, and he who loves me constantly, consistently, continually will be loved by my Father constantly, consistently, and continually, and I will love him constantly, consistently, and continually, and I will disclose myself. I mean, do you see how it's just a love fest? You loving him, he loving you. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. I'm sorry, I just hear the OJ's forever. My, because you're one of a kind. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. That's what it is, exclusive. Yes. You want to pray for me, Clyde. You one of a kind. Is that not real? Amen. Think about it. I'm not second, but think about it. That's what he's saying. It's you. And you know what the Lord is, but one of the things he said, y'all don't understand that it's one-on-one. I really love you, like for you, as you are. I got time for you. You're exclusive. You're different. I mean, it's a personal thing, but I just feel, excuse my charismatic group, but I just sense in my spirit, we don't understand it yet. That is exclusive. That is personal. Personal. That's the word. Personal. I love you. I'm into you. 110%. I know how many strands of hair are on your head. I battle every tear. I love you. Personally, I don't have to share. My love is big enough to love each and every one constantly, consistently, continually, and be very personally involved in your life.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Talk about every tear.
Hallelujah.
I mean, every teardrop that you ever drop, he's known about it.
About it. Amen.
He knows about it.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
That's what the Lord said. We don't get this yet. We don't get this yet. I am your personal father. You're my personal child. The relationship I have with you is different from you. Just like a real father, our relationship with Brooke is different from Rihanna. And my relationship with them is different from my wife. My relationship with Brooke is different. Different. Because it's personal. You're not her. She's not you. You're not him. God treats you based on who he made, but he want to make you too. Please help us to get the personal aspect of our relationship. He's the, lack of a better term, he's the inventor of relationships. Who did he create? Husband and wife. First thing was husband and wife. That's the first relationship. Well, first, even before that, who he created, man, and they had a relationship. Relationship is all. Look. I've been trying to tell y'all. Homosexuality, all of the sexual perversion is to destroy and distort relationships. It's not even about the sex. That's the tool Satan is using to really, the real thing is to tear up relationships. One-on-one, and then what's the first unit that has a relationship? The first unit?
Family.
So sexual perversion tore up relationship here, and it just tore up the vertical. That's what it's about. I honestly believe sex is just a tool to do that. I want to tear with God. That's what I want to pervert. What God has established. Mm-hmm. We're going to stop on verse 14, but I got to read it again because I don't think we have any idea just how thick and rich this is. Lord, please, by the Holy Ghost, help us to get this. This is so rich. He who has my commandments. Now, are we not responsible? Do we not have his commandments? Miss Cheryl, I think, is the one who's been here the least. I think you've been here about 6 years. You've been coming 2016. Yeah, I think about 20, maybe 2015 even. I think we was over at the other, somewhere in there. So you've been at least 6 years. 09 for Miss Darlene, 07 for April and fella. Miss Palmer in the beginning. Chris, 02. And Auntie been around off and on for a minute. JR, 20 years. Brother Clyde been popping in, you know, for the last couple of years, somewhere in there. We have his commandments. Are we not aware of them? Amen. We most certainly are aware of them. Absolutely. But guess what? You just can't have it. That's why when people start quoting the verse and they're living like the devil, what good is your quoting? You may know chapter, verse, Greek, Hebrew and Greek, Greek and Hebrew, Greek grew. I mean, you throwing it down for him, but he said, and the conjunction that connects, you got to have his commandments, and you got to keep them, and you got to keep them constantly, consistently, and continually is the one who loves me constantly, consistently, and continually. So it's not just just having commandments, having and obeying. Wow, that sounds a lot like orthodoxy. Orthodoxy, remember, is doctrine, teaching. So that's how you get the commandments. Now you're in position to do what? Keep those commandments, orthopraxy. So you have them. You know these things. Happy are you if you do them. He who has the commandments and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father constantly, consistently, and continually. And I will love him and will disclose, reveal myself to him. I mean, see, when we talk about reading too fast, but just stop right there. Do you really believe that? If you obey him, one of the blessings is I'm going to personally reveal myself, manifest myself to you. And it's done incrementally. The more you obey, the more he reveals. The
more he reveals, the more you want to obey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm, that's right. It's motivation.
Yeah.
I'm going to be witness. I know him more now than I did then, but my drive to obey him is even more now. And my pain toward my sin is just great, which is the way it should be.
Yes.
Never should it be, oh, I ain't no big deal. Well, I got away with that one. Must be okay. But just because the sky didn't fall or you didn't fall off your bike or bust your head or something, don't mean that you're all
right. That's right.
He just had great mercy. That's the, see, that's what you're getting older. Being more mature in Christ, you never think like that. That's, can I say it? That's stupid. You don't understand grace and mercy. If you think that's okay, you start to say, wow, woo, Lord, he had grace and mercy. Oh, Lord God, thank you for all your needs. Not like, ooh, I went with that one. Maybe it's not that bad. No, that's not the way to think. That's dangerous.
And unfortunately, he will not be disclosing and revealing himself to you if we have that attitude. We don't get it, and I only name just Holy Spirit. You just gotta meditate there. But
he's promising, I'm gonna personally show my. I'm standing on landing for a minute because I think we still ain't got it. This is the God of the universe. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, our eternal big brother, our Savior, our Redeemer, saying that I'm going to personally come and disclose myself, reveal who I really am to you if you just obey me consistently. I promise you I'll do that. It's exclusive. This is not for everyone.
That's why we here at Word of Life, with all of this knowledge we've been getting, we ought to know more about Jesus Christ than most people who've been in church all their whole lives, because they haven't been around this kind of word. It's the word and obedient. Thank you. Orthodoxy followed by orthopraxy is what gets you into knowing more and more about who God is.
Yes, sir.
He will personally reveal himself.
Yes, sir.
Obedience is good. That's what we're not just up in attend church for the purpose, please.
Yes.
Let's find out what's going on. Hey, take my hand upon you. Learn, I'm here to learn, and I love you. Got Bibles open, you got pens and tablets and all kinds of stuff. I love that. Yep, teach me. Amen. Christian Learning Center, where we learn how to be a Christian. Teach me. That's the attitude. Learn, I want to learn. Lord told me, sit your ragged, packing yourself down and learn of me. Sister Ophelia Jackson, she's going on the glory. I think she went home about 90. She was about 90 years old. You heard the story. After I got out the pulpit, you know, she was charismatic. She said, Brother Greg? She had to come up, she had a little singing to it. Brother Greg, I hear the Spirit of God saying that you need to sit down. The Holy Ghost is telling me that you need to take his yoke upon you and learn. You need to learn, Brother Greg. I mean, that was in 1989. And I sat my righteous self down. Yes, I did. For the next 11 years. And I learned.
Thank you.
And I'm still learning, of course. But learned a lot that I didn't know. Because once I received that, when she told me that, she got on the phone, I got on my knees. And came a great light, a revelation. I don't know him. I've been preaching of him for like 8 years in the 80s. How many preachers are preaching of him but don't know him? many thousands are. Talking about the meeting they had for pastors in Canada, something like that, and they, these pastors went to their meeting, and like half of them got saved. Mm-hmm. They taught the word of God as they are hearing it. When they heard the word of God, like the day of Pentecost, many believed.
Thank
and
you,
were saved. For the friend, they've been preaching for years.
Thank you, Lord. My mercy.
Have mercy is right.
What mercy?
Yeah, what mercy? He had mercy. Father God, what shall we say to these things, you know? Your word says, he who has my commandments and keeps them constantly, consistently, and continually, you said in your word, is the one who loves me constantly, consistently, continually. And he who loves me consistently will be loved consistently by my Father, and I, the Lord Jesus, will love him consistently and will disclose myself to him.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Father God, as my sister-in-law, the great Auntie Del Vita Crouch, used to say, when things hit us so good, it's too much, too much. This is too much. It's unreal that you would say that. But with great humility, as the old folk used to say, as humbly as I know how, I say thank you for such a grandiose promise. Disclose, reveal, exhibit yourself to us. Thank you for choosing us, saving us. Hallelujah! And we thank you for it in Jesus' holy name. Oh, and the people of God said, amen.